The following sermon is given by a guest preacher at Dayspring Christian Church, located in Gardena, California, and our hope is changed hearts and changed lives by the Word of God. For information about Dayspring Christian Church, you can visit our website at dayspringcc.org. Enjoy the sermon.
Come to you this morning. I've been talking with a couple of fellow believers and regarding how our faith in Christ and our belief in God is displayed in our lives. And kind of through our conversation, we got to this point where this consensus where we said that there are times in our lives and situations where we kind of get doubtful. We look at a situation, we look at a circumstance that we feel that has limited us from truly doing what we thought we were supposed to be doing, thought a path that we were supposed to go, thought a decision that we made in prayer to God has changed because some unforeseen event has come into our lives. And we start to kind of start worrying, like, equate that our understanding and our visual understanding of what the circumstance is, that limitation to me somehow equates and goes and transfers to limitating and putting these things and limits on God. Yeah. We think our circumstances and situations that we don't see the light of the tunnel, that it somehow equates to Jesus not seeing the light of the tunnel. Yeah. We get into a situation or a circumstance that it seems like it's too hard for us to bear. And somehow we transfer our ability, our limit understanding to God and His understanding. We think, and if I can be really open and honest and blunt, we think that, you know, at that time where it's, why me, Lord? And why is this happening now, Father? Why is this going on now? You know, God, this situation is just too hard. I just don't see it. It's impossible for me. So maybe it's impossible for you too. If I can even break it down further, we think that our circumstances and our situations that are bigger than us is even bigger than God. I know I'm not the only one that's ever applied that system in our life, especially when something, a loved one is lost. A loved one is called home. You've laid off your job. Things that you've been praying for, and you think you're right there about to grab and obtain it, and it seems like it's further and further away. Situations at work where you were saying, you know what, God, I've been praying, I've been faithful, Lord, I'm in my word, I've been fasting, Lord, I'm just into it, and that promotion is mine, but it's gone to someone else. And then it's at the time when your family truly needs you to step up. We begin to waver a little bit and say, God, is it, God, can it be, it, maybe it's just too big for you. And some of us even stop praying. We stop praying. We stop, you know, God, it's not even worth your time because right now you're too busy blessing somebody else. Oh, I'm the only one that's ever had that feeling before. That your prayers just only hit the ceiling and come back down because of situations in our life. I even made the excuse like, you know, Lord, I know I'm going through TMS and going through the masters. I've done Hebrew and Greek. I understand how to break this down. And I've seen your blessings in the Old Testament with Moses and David. I've seen what you delivered to them in the Old Testament. And God, I've read the Bible and I've seen that you walk with Peter and John and James in the New Testament. Then I'm like, you know, I heard grandma pray to you and grandpa pray to you. But for me right now, this situation, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. If y'all would turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Familiar passage. We're going to go from verse 30 to 44. And if you're taking down a title, my question to you is, is our God big enough? If you want to make it personal, is my God big enough? Today, we're about to take God out of that proverbial box. We're about to take God out the box this morning. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Reading of God's word says, the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that had done and taught. He said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Verse 35. And when it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate. It is already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat? He said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go, look. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them all to sit down by the groups in the green grass. They sat down in the groups of hundreds and of fifties. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and also of the fish. And there were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. Once again, the question is our God big enough? Is our God big enough? And this morning I have 3 encouraging reminders that our God is bigger than any circumstance or situation we are experiencing. 3 reminders that our God is bigger than any circumstance or situation we are experiencing. The first one is God knows the conditions of the circumstances and situations we are currently in. Our God knows the conditions of the circumstances and situations we are experiencing. The second is God is not limited to the circumstances and situations we are facing. God knows and God is not limited. Our third is God is sovereign and wise over every circumstance and situation we're facing. So God knows the situation and the condition. God is not limited to those circumstances and situations. And God is sovereign over those circumstances and situations. Let us walk. Just give you a little background of what's going on at the beginning of Mark chapter 6. Jesus has just coming to Nazareth from the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And as he's getting through Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, he's actually going to be rejected in his own hometown of Nazareth. He's just come in and his fame is already spread throughout. Here's this Jesus that has been healing people. Here's this Jesus that turned water into wine at a wedding. Here's this Jesus that's been talking the truth to at the synagogue and preaching the gospel and telling people to repent. And here he comes home. The one place where you think you should be welcomed. The one place that you think everyone should be like, oh, that's our boy Jesus. That's not what he got. In fact, in verse 3, it tells us they looked at him and said, hold up, isn't that Mary's son? Isn't that the carpenter boy? Where is he getting this knowledge from? Who is he? Who does he think he is? And the scripture sadly tells us that he didn't even do any miracles in his hometown. He continues to proceed. Mark chapter 6, 7 to 13, we see that he's just started to dispatch the 12 apostles. He's given them authority and power over of ministry, and they're going out and they're healing people, and they're helping the sick, and they're ministering, they're preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Yeah. They preached, they repent, and they heal people. They're casting out demons through the authority of Jesus. And then, as Mark 6 comes to a close, it says Mark 6, 14 to 29. recollect the death of John the Baptist. At this time, the four Gospels come together and explain to us before the event that we're going to get to, tells us that it reminds us of the death of John the Baptist. Because of all what's going on with all these healings and all this ministry that Jesus is doing, the king is frustrated. He's actually fearful because he just killed the prophet John. If you don't know the story, you can read it. Here he is. John is going against the king because he's telling him that you are committing a sin. You know what you did? You straight out married your brother's wife. So basically, he went and married his sister-in-law. And in this marriage, they had a daughter, or she had a daughter that comes along. And at this beautiful feast with all his friends, he stands up after drinking some wine. He says, whatever you desire, your dance has just enticed me. Whatever you have desired, up to half a kingdom, I'll give it to you. He's thinking that she's going to take money. He's thinking that she's going to take land. You know what this little girl says? Give me the head of John the Baptist. Pride. Because in that moment, the man could have said, no, he's in jail. We got him covered. But because the Bible says, because of the people that was in there, the people, the names of the people and all this of who's in there, he goes on and says, give me the head of John the Baptist. He has the prophets beheaded and brings his head on a silver platter. And then he gives the young lady the head. But when Jesus is going around town, he's freaking out because he's thinking John has been resurrected. He said, well, I just killed John the Baptist. How is this happening? He's coming to haunt me. He's coming to get me back. If you read the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 14, it tells you that the disciples got together of John and got his body and reported this instance to Jesus. And then we end here, Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. His disciples come back. Lord, Lord, guess what? We was out ministering in your name, Lord. We were out casting out demons in your name, Father. We were out, Father God, helping the sick. And we were giving them and teaching the ministry to repent, to repent, to repent. And this is something that's so amazing to me what Jesus does. Jesus says, great. Now you need to go and you need to move yourself away. You need to get rejuvenated. You need to get energy. See, y'all got to understand, the ministry is no joke. It's a burden. When a person is preaching and teaching the word of God, there's something that comes out of us. And sometimes that's why you see a preacher or a pastor go to the side and they sit down because now we're trying to gather everything back to us. Jesus says, take your time. Y'all been out, y'all hungry. And the crowd is getting big. Why don't y'all just get away for a moment? Go rest. And I'm going to go here and I'm going to pray. But the crowd comes. And the thing that we see here, the first thing we see is his disciples, that he sees the condition of his disciples. They're broke down. They're tired. He sees what they're going through. He says, get away. In fact, y'all haven't even had time to eat. Go eat. Jesus then examines the people. He watches the people. These people are travelers. These people have been traveling from city to city following Jesus. If you read through his ministry, these people went from town to town, city to city to hear what this Jesus had to say. And I'm talking about they didn't have no Lyft. They didn't have an Uber. They didn't have a taxi. Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 14, they followed him on foot. Do you understand? These people heard the word. They heard the message. They seen something. And they're like, I got to be where this man is. And they got up and they followed him from city to city. And I'm telling you, this is not going from Gardena to Compton. We're talking about Gardena to Oakland. Do you understand? They're traveling with Jesus miles after time. So he already knows the condition of the people. Mark chapter 6 tells us these people seen Jesus moving and they ran on foot and got ahead of him just to be where he was. Luke says that they followed him. No, when he moved, they looked and said, he's there. I got to go. Yeah. Well, wow, wouldn't that be something if we had that mindset? Yeah. Jesus is moving. I need to go. Hold on, but no. Jesus is moving. I need to go. But no, Jesus is moving, church. My job, my family, Jesus is moving. I got to go. They said they followed him on foot. Where he went, they followed and beat him sometime before he got there. But I love John. Because John even gets into it. John in John chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, some of the people was following him because they were amazed by the signs and wonders they saw. Some of them were so amazed by the signs. Some of them wasn't coming to hear the word of God. They were being entertained. See, we don't want to talk about that. Some people go to church to be entertained. Some people come to church because they want to hear how great the choir is. Some people want to go to church because they want to see the ushers march up and down the usher board. Some people go to church because they want to see what everybody is wearing. Some people come to church to get entertained. They miss the point of the whole thing. He's saying the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent for your salvation. But they so focused on the flesh that the only thing they want to see him is, hey, man, this dude turned water into wine. Maybe I can catch that party. Oh, he healed somebody. Man, he raised somebody from the dead. This dude is no joke. Man, let's go. Let's follow this dude. So truly, their spirituality wasn't even on board. It's amazing to me that even Jesus knew some of their hearts. For in John 4, he tells them to noblemen, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. So Jesus already knows the conditions of the circumstance. He knows the conditions of his apostles. He knows the conditions of the people. And then you got to understand, he knows the conditions of the locations he's at. Jesus just came off the Sea of Galilee. He's at the shore. And Matthew says he's going to the mountaintop. The mountaintop is a place where you want to go pray and teach. So there in the little, there's like tableaus here where there's certain areas that you can go in and crevice and be to yourself. So Jesus is peeping all this side and say, all right, I got you. I got my disciples. I got the people. And I got the location. So I know everything that's going on in this condition. I know everything that's about to happen in this circumstance, in this situation. And what's so loving about this, look what he does. Jesus goes on and says, as he gathers them together, the people saw them going and many recognized them and ran together on foot from the cities. Verse 34, when Jesus went ashore, he saw the large crowd. And this is a sentence and verse that we totally miss. And he felt compassion for them. See, we get so hyped up because we want to see the miracles as well. We want to get to the part where he feeds the 5,000, but we miss a great attribute of the Son of God. He felt compassion. And I'm going to tell you, being honest with you, church, that's something I struggle in. Compassion. To have empathy for someone. To put yourself in someone else's shoes. I have sympathy, but do I have empathy? And do I have compassion like my Savior? See, y'all not getting this. Jesus just heard the death of his cousin John. And Jesus is going away. He's trying to have his disciples rest. And he's trying to get himself together. And in his human state, even at this crucial time in his life, he has compassion on the crowd. Man, all night, I was sitting like, that's all I can see is compassion. How would I, when my grandfather died, I didn't want no one to talk to me. I wanted to be in my own room. I wanted to just be like, no, leave me alone. People called me and asked me to come preach, and I told my wife, can tell you, I said no. But Jesus, disciples, people, himself, he could have said no, but he had compassion. And this is not the first time that we overskip this word. We tend to focus on the event that's going to happen afterwards. We want to see the 5 loaves and the 2 fish multiply. We want to see the 12 loaves. We want to see all these things. We want to see the healing. But we miss the point, church. He has compassion on people. And that's something that we lack in the church. We have hospitality, but do we have compassion? Do we have compassion? Mark 6, 34 says, compassion. He said he had so much compassion because the people were like sheep without a shepherd. Could you see that? Even in the time of his grieving, he turns and says, my heart breaks for them because they're like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 9, 36 says, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. These people were broken. These people were hurting. These people were lost. These people were wandering. They had heard the word from the Pharisees and Sadducees. They say, that's not enough. What y'all talking is about yourself. We want to hear what God has to say. And they're hurt, and they need someone to lead them and guide them. They need someone to have compassion on them. And here comes Jesus. As he teaches the word. Brothers and sisters, he's not only a judge. He's not only merciful. He's not only gracious. But he's compassionate to us. Even in our times, when a situation seems like it's not going to change, Christ is compassionate on us. 1 Peter 3, 5 tells us, cast your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Because he's a compassionate Savior. But we overlook this part, don't we? We skip the compassionate part. We want to get to the blessing. Oh, we want to get to the miracle. We want to get to see what Jesus, we want to see when Jesus tell people off. But we don't figure out, we being real, we want to see all that. But we miss compassion. Says he had compassion on them. Even before he fed the 4,000, if you move forward in Mark chapter 8, verse 2 and 3, it says, in those days when again a great crowd gathered together, they had nothing to eat. He called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. When he's going out walking from Jericho, he runs into the two blind men in Matthew chapter 20. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd is following him. And he hears the voice of the two men saying, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. The crowd tells him to hush up. Oh, ain't that how we act in church? Hush up. Be quiet. And they kept yelling out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus stops them. And it says he is moved with compassion. How many of y'all would have kept walking? How many of y'all would have followed the crowd and told them to hush up? The raising of the dead son, this is one of the ones that hit me the most in Luke. Chapter 7, 11 through 15. It says, soon after he went to a city called Dain, and his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by another large crowd. Now as he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, do not weep. He came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And this is Jesus. He said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Oh, man. Y'all missed those ones, didn't you? We don't see it that way, do we? He had compassion. Could you see that? A brother in a coffin with 6 dudes on the side walking him out, and Jesus comes along. hands touches the coffin and says, get up. And gives the dead man back to his mother because he had compassion on her. Do we have compassion like our Savior? Do we demonstrate compassion like our Savior? Oh, we'll go to the mercy. We'll go to grace. Some of us will go to forgiveness. Some of us. We'll go to comfort, but will we go to compassion? He's sitting back and he's seeing all what's going on because he understands the condition where this circumstance is. And Jesus sees that these people are tired, ran foot following him. He sees that his disciples are tired. They need to get away because they haven't eaten. And the thing that this man displays the most is compassion. But let's look at the apostles' reaction. Verse 35 through 36. Jesus has compassion. Let's look what the apostles say. When it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate. It is already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Look at them. We tired, Jesus. We've been doing ministry. We trying to get some alone time with you. These people keep coming and coming. Doc, it's noon. It's time. Tell them to go home. In fact, send them out. Let them go find something on their own. Oh, isn't that how the church does? Isn't that how we act to people? It's getting late. Ministry time is over. We've been here till 12:30, 1 o'clock. It's time to go. And, oh, you passed your time. I'm sorry. When Jesus is telling you to continue to just listen and minister, listen and evangelize, listen and give your testimony, listen and have compassion, you want to shut it off. Oh, the time is late. I got to go home. The time is late. I'm hungry and I don't have enough for you and me, so I'm going to go ahead and leave. The time is late. Go. Isn't that our attitude sometimes? Within the church? The church turns to the world when the world at this time is begging for to hear the gospel. When we're right now in the state that our world is in, and let's be honest, our country is in, the greatest thing that we can do is preach the gospel. Give them the word of God, and we're saying, it's too late. Our time has come. Figure it out on your own. How well has that been going for the world to figure it out on their own? How well has this country have gone because we're trying to figure it out on our own? When is the church going to rise and say, we have compassion? We're here to hear what you have to go through. Come on in and let's talk. The second reminder, God is not limited to the circumstances and situations we are experiencing. Do you truly believe that God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient? Do you truly believe that nothing catches God off guard? Do you honestly understand and believe that? Do you understand that what makes us limitless or limited does nothing to God? What we see as what is impossible is possible through him naturally and supernaturally. Do you understand that he is the God in heaven? That he is not walking around right now, walking to and fro because you're pacing back and forth in your own bedroom? Do you understand that God is not sitting there shaking in his boots because somebody got elected to office? Oh, y'all missed that. Do you understand God is not, heaven is not rocking and rolling because of the situation, decisions that man has made? But for some reason, because the circumstance and situation is too hard for us, We put God in that same box. It got to be hard for you, God. Come on, man. Look at all these people out here. What you talking about, Doc? It's getting late. I'm tired. My boys, the other disciples is tired. These people getting on our nerves. Half of them not even here to hear you. They here just to see you do some tricks and something. Come on, Jesus. Send them away. Come on, Jesus. No, come on, Jesus. Send them away. What does Jesus say? Verses 37 and 38. But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go look." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Look at that attitude. He said, "Y'all, you figure out something for them to eat." And they talking about, "Man, are you serious, Doc? Do you want us to go get 200 denarii? You got to understand why they said this. Because one denarius was one day's wage of work. Now, Jesus asked them, and their mind is thinking, "Wait a minute. You want us to do one denarius? We got to get at least 200, and that's 8 months of wages saved up. That's still not enough for these people. How are we going to take care of them? Won't you send them out and let them do it on their own, Father?" "No, no, no, are you kidding me? How are we going to raise that much? It's 5,000. Watch this. Men alone. Just because your title on the thing says 5,000 fed, you got to understand the 5,000 were men alone. We ain't even taking into consideration the women and children that came along. There could be at least 10 to 20,000 people sitting here. But the disciples do what we do. We look at everything through a snapshot. We look at everything through the little lens that we have. And Jesus looks at the whole picture. See, we too busy. I'm in the movie industry. I love to pull things out of my industry. We too busy looking at the trailer. We too busy looking at the sneak preview. God's seen the whole picture. Because you got to understand, he's the writer, the producer, and the director of the show. So he already knows how this story is going to end. He actually gave us the blueprint. But we're too busy caught up on a snapshot in the trailer of the circumstances and situation because they're right here in front of us. We don't see the whole picture. Jesus said, "Hold on, hold on. Do you understand? I'm not limited by your snapshot. Do you understand? I'm not limited by the trailer that you get, that 2-3 minute trailer. I know the movie. I wrote it." So do you honestly think that I am going to allow these people who have traveled with me, do you honestly think that I'm going to allow you, my disciples, who I just commissioned out to go and to repent and told you you need to get away, do you honestly think I'm going to allow you to come here and not be fed? Once again, we look at it through our eyes. We look at the circumstance and the situation through our eyes. And it's kind of funny because John, once again, John tells us in John 6, 5, and 7, John tells us Bethsaida, where we are right now, is the hometown of Philip, Andrew, Peter, and John. So these cats already knew what was going on. Jesus is like, "Hold on, do you understand who I am? Hold on, let me explain to you what I'm doing here. I know where we are. We're in your house." That's why, one, it tells you in John, he asked Philip, "Philip, what you going to do?" Scripture tells us in John, it says he was testing Philip. He wanted to see if Philip said, "Master, whatever you want me to do." Yeah. That was the reply that should have been given. Because yeah. Wasn't Philip, Peter, John, and Andrew all with him when he turned water into wine? Wasn't Philip, Peter, John, and Andrew with him when he raised a young man, when he healed the leper, when he went and raised Jairus' daughter, when the lady with the hemorrhaging blood touched his cloth and he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" They was all there. So he's saying, "Don't you think you've seen what I can do? Do you honestly think I can't feed 20,000 people?" See, he was testing them in John. "This your hometown. Where are you going to go, Philip?" Philip's answer to being, "Wherever you want me to go, Master." But instead, my man was like, Doc, look at my pockets. I ain't got no money, man. It's let alone trying to feed the 12. You want to feed 20,000 people? Come on, Jesus. But I love it because then it brings you to Isaiah 55, doesn't it? When the word says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, declare the Lord. For as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts your thoughts. It makes you start to realize, how often do I question what God is asking me to do? How often do, when the times come, when the situation feel like I'm about to feed 20,000, but I got the Lord Savior on my side who's an overcomer, when I'm about to go through the situation, when I have the one that died for me at Calvary, when I'm about to go to the situation, the one that was raised up and sits on the right hand of God the Father, is that situation bigger than him? I love it because, you know, this ain't the first time. You can go back to Exodus 3, 13 and 5. Moses, I love Moses. God's telling him, I'm about to have you go out and free my people. Moses is like, man, I can't talk. You know, I stumble over my words. Yeah. And then when I get in front of them, I know these people, they're going to ask who sent me. Oh, didn't we talk about the last time I was here? Jesus says, hold on, let me tell you. God says, let me tell you who. Tell them I am sent you. Yeah. I am who I am has sent you. The father of your God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent you. Do you honestly think for a moment that Jesus was limited to understanding the situation that was going on? We got to start getting God out of this box that we have. He is not limited to our expectations, our standards, our beliefs. In fact, John 6:6 says, Jesus already knew what he was going to do before he even asked Philip, where was he going to go? This is the God who we serve, family. This is our Savior you're talking about. Didn't he also tell them, if you go back in Mark 6:8-9, wasn't Jesus the one that told them, when you go out to minister, only take a staff and sandals and one tunic, do not take bread, do not take a bag, and leave your money belt. It was Jesus that told him that. So if Jesus told me to take my tunic, my staff, and my shoes, and leave everything else on the side, shouldn't I believe that he's going to provide for me? When Jesus calls you and tells you that he's got you, that he wants you to move forward to do something, when God has put something placed upon your heart, some mission, some call, and you sit there and give him excuses. There's a song we used to sing that says, you know, he brought us this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his every word. He has never failed me yet. He's brought me this far by faith. It's not what we're supposed to be believing in and walking in. But then when we get to the situation, we move on out the way, don't we? We say, God, not right now. I don't see it. God says, you don't have to see it. I got you. Day spring, keep moving forward. God got you. Stop worrying about who and what is not here. Stop worrying about if y'all don't have a choir standing behind you. Don't worry about if you don't have a glass pulpit. Don't worry about that the fuse ain't filled. Keep going with God. He says, I got you. You think I'm going to bring you here to this building for no reason? You think I'm going to leave you barren? Didn't you know my word? The righteous has never been forsaken or his seed, never begging for bread. Trust in me. Same thing he's saying to Philip. Trust in me. Telling you, the word speaks to me too. I said, man, I was getting whooped when I was reading this. Say, man, that's me, Jesus. When people tell me no, God's like, I got you. I got you. I got you. Told him, don't go nowhere. I got you. Leave all that stuff alone. Why? Because I need you to understand, you need to be dependent on me. How can you walk with me if you don't trust me? I told you, leave all that alone for a simple fact. I'm about to do something for you. I love John. John's like, man, he told them before he even asked, he already knew what was going on. And then they say, man, only thing we got is five loaves and two fish. Could you see him walking in there gathering? You got something? You got some? Doctor's all we got. This ain't even enough for me. This is all we got. Leads us to the third reminder. God is sovereign over every circumstance and situation we're going through. God is in control, family. Look what his response was. Verse 39. And he commanded them all to sit down by the groups on the green grass. Did y'all ever catch that? Did you ever catch that? He told them to sit down in groups on the green grass. See, you got to understand, Jesus knows everything that's going on. Remember, he was at a mountain. He's teaching. This mountain is built and it's kind of tapped out. Jesus says, let me remove you from this situation and take you to the green grass. Y'all, boy, y'all missing that. I'm about to calm you down. I'm going to take you out of the situation and move you to the green grass. And I'm going to let you sit here in this comfortable area. Because offshore is rugged, it's muddy, it's rocky. You ain't going to be able to be content and be focused on what I'm about to do. So I got to move you out of something and put you on the green grass. Isn't that what David says? The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me by the still waters. He lays me down in green pastures. Wouldn't it be cool if God said, I led you down to some brown pastures? You'd be like, really? Brown pastures? What? What is this? You got me in dirt? God said, no, I'm laying you down in green pastures. Why? Because it calms your soul. He says, hold on. I need you to do this for me, disciples. Move them out of this terrain to the green grass and sit them down in groups of 50 and hundreds. And watch what Jesus does. He takes the five loaves and the two fish, look up to heaven. He blesses the food. He breaks the loaves. Could y'all see that? Sits them down, takes the loaves, gives thanks to Almighty Father. Then this is only five loaves. And he breaks the loaves. And the scripture says, and he breaks the loaves, and he kept giving them. Did y'all catch that? He kept, I mean, it was ongoing. It didn't say he gave. He kept handing out pieces of bread. He kept going. He kept five loaves. I mean, come on. Could you see them? They sitting there looking at that basket. They thought there's five loaves of bread. And he's still just giving it out. He's just constantly, he's just breaking it. Go, 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 go. And they just coming back, passing it. Oh, we got some more bread. Whoa, we got some more bread. We got some more bread. And they're going to each group and each section. And they're just giving them bread. And they're just giving them bread. And it says it keeps giving them bread to set before them. And then he divided up the two fish among them. Oh, man. What was impossible to the disciples. What's impossible to us at times. What's hard for us to understand. What's hard for us to see. Sometimes it's not meant for you to see. It's just meant for you to be a witness of it. It's not meant for you to understand sometimes what God does. Just be a witness of it. And watch the glory of God transform and manifest before you. They said he broke the five loaves. Could you? That's like me sitting here and saying, bro, we only got two biscuits and two wings. And we about to feed this church. And then y'all sit here and we just busting them biscuits out. And it's them church's biscuits with the butter and stuff. Or we can go to Red Robin if y'all like those biscuits and the Red Lobster. And we just keep going. And we keep going. And we keep going. And then you see me bust out the wing. You're like, the brother had only two wings. But it's keep going. And it's keep going. And then the scripture says, he divided up the two among them. And they all ate. Oh, boy. They all ate. And I love what Mark does. And then he says, and they were satisfied. I mean, they were filled. He just didn't give them a little nibble. Okay. No, they were filled. Can you see that just flowing from the mouth? God is on the ground. He's like, man, just go. I got you. Got you. Okay, I got the bread is good. All right, everybody's broken. Now let's go ahead and get these wings going. I got you. I got you. And people sitting there, and they just eating. Five loaves, two fish? Isn't our God amazing? Take them out of their circumstance. Understand the conditions that each... You got to remember, the disciples is tired. The people are tired. Jesus is probably tired himself. But because of his compassion, no matter what the odds look like, Doc, we only got five loaves, two fish. This is not going to happen. I give thanks to you, Almighty Father. And I distribute. And I keep going. And I keep going. And then they eat. And they're satisfied. Watch this, though. This ain't the end, though. Jesus, I'm telling you, Jesus showed out. This is not the end. Verse 43 says, and they picked up 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also of the fish. Hold on. Y'all not getting it. Everybody's full. Off of five loaves and two fish. But then they go and pick up 12 baskets full. We ain't talking about the little laundry basket. These baskets are about this tall. These baskets were baskets they would put on their backs and carry with them. They took 12 baskets full of broken fragments. They had leftovers, family. Off of five loaves and two fish. They ate. Satisfied, and then had leftovers. And they were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. That was just 5,000 men. There were 20,000 people possibly on that day that were fed off of five loaves, two fish. Is our God big enough? So no matter what circumstance you're going through, ask yourself, is my God big enough? Even if you don't understand it, is my God big enough? And I'm going to say, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Trust him. Trust him, brothers and sisters. If he can take five loaves and two fish and feed a multitude, what can he do with the circumstances in your life? Amen.